Corey Lewandowski has been a regular on the show. He's a New Hampshire resident. By the way, he was the campaign manager for the Trump campaign when it soared out of New Hampshire and went on to grab the nomination. Still very close with the former president, heading up that big super Trump, the PAC, Political Action Committee. And they'll be looking at states like New Hampshire, the first congressional district and beyond. And who knows, maybe the Senate race. Corey Lewandowski joins us, GMI Studios. How are you?
Good morning, Jack. Great to be back on with you.
Let's talk about the president's trip a little bit to Georgia. Big trip for the president?
It is going to be a big trip. We're going to be in Perry, Georgia on Saturday night. The main event, if you will, starts at 7 p.m., followed by a fireworks display. But more than that, Jack, what you have is the pregame in Georgia. And who you're going to see speak at that event is Herschel Walker, who is obviously well-known in his football prowess, both in Georgia and in the professionals. Donald Trump has endorsed him to be the next U.S. Senator from Georgia. You're going to see Burt Jones, who's a current state senator who Donald Trump has endorsed. He's running for lieutenant governor. And you're going to see Jody Heiss, who's a current congressman who's running for the Secretary of State's position in the state of Georgia. So those three individuals, all endorsed by Donald Trump, all running statewide, will all be speaking at the rally in the pregame. And so it is an indication of how important the state of Georgia is to the president. And we are still actively engaged in finding someone to run against Brian Kemp in the primary for next year.
Will the former president be looking at a trip to New Hampshire? I know it's something you'd like to see happen.
I sure hope so. Look, we are in Iowa next month. And so the former president continues to ramp up his travel schedule. Paul is right. We are actually back down in Florida now. The president is operating out of there as opposed to New Jersey. That's not a big surprise. The season is starting to open down there. You're going to see just a complete, rush of candidates going down to the Mar-a-Lago area to do fundraising, to be near the president, to talk to him, to get his advice and counsel. So you're going to see Donald Trump on the road on a much more regular basis. Iowa next month, I have been a huge advocate of the president coming to New Hampshire. He's been here many, many times. I want to see him back up here as often as possible.
Corey Lewandowski on Good Morning New Hampshire, Pulse of NH. Corey, real quickly, you're going with the president to Georgia?
I will be, yep.
Now, you're with him a lot, so all you have to say, Mr. President, former president, if you can't get up to New Hampshire an event, one way you can connect is just call into Jack's radio show. So can you put the request in at a good moment when he's in a good mood, so you just call in some morning so we can get that out of the way? I need your help on that.
Jack, I think the best thing I can do for you is I can wait till he shoots about a 71 on the golf course and say, you know who loves to talk golf, sir? Jack Heath loves to talk golf. So if you call him, you can tell him all about the holes you birdied today, and he'll say, set it up.
Hey, let's switch gears. Well, the president is going to be in Georgia tomorrow evening. New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu is going to be delivering the keynote address or speech to the California Republican Annual Convention. Now, why is that significant? Two reasons. The governor told this host in this show just a week ago he's been slowly recovering from a health scare with that bleeding ulcer. It would take a 3 or 4 more weeks before he got back up to full steam. I think last week was his first kind of days back in at the executive council in the office, and now he's off to California, so presumably feeling better. But that could be, and probably is, the way he was on Wednesday, blasting the New Hampshire federal delegation for targeting an executive council vote here on Planned Parenthood funding. A very feisty Governor Sununu taking on our Democrat delegation, Senators Hassan, Shaheen, Representative Custer, and Pappas. And certainly this would seem to be more signs that he's very likely looking at that U.S. Senate run in the primary with hopes of taking on Senator Hassan. Is that how you would read such a trip to California?
You know, I think you're spot on, Jack. Look, really, if you're a Republican, there's almost no reason to be out in California. You know, most of the major donors continue to flee that state because of the overburden and the regulations they have in place there. You know, this is a clear indication to me that Governor Sununu has a desire to be raising his profile in places where he might have the opportunity to raise some money. As you know, Maggie Hassan is up on television already running fluff ads about all the great work she has never done in Washington, D.C. So if you turn on the TV, you're going to see that. This means that we're setting up for a big battle next November. I believe that's going to be Governor Sununu against Maggie Hassan. It's going to be one of the premier races in the country. It is going to be one of the best opportunities for Republicans to pick up a U.S. Senate seat and take back that majority. So I see, you know, for Governor Sununu to be traveling out to California to give a keynote speech is a very, very strong indication that he wants to raise his profile and raise money, and that means he's gearing up for a race.
Now, you're going to be playing a major role in these races across the country. If you're correct, and I think you are, that he runs for the Senate, it's going to be one of the biggest in the country, as you said, Corey Lewandowski. Would the Trump PAC support Governor Sununu in a primary? I know Don Boldick, the retired general, good friend of mine, good friend of our veteran in New Hampshire, is out there in running, but arguably Governor Sununu would be the one that would be the formidable likely favorite in that primary. Would that be something that the former president, you would direct funds here and support his candidacy?
Jack, I'll say this. You know, I've learned my lesson of never getting out in front of the president of who he's going to endorse and not endorse in the race. But what the determining factor is, particularly in a Republican primary, is Donald Trump's endorsement. I think who the president, if he were to engage in that race, who he endorses is going to be the Republican nominee. But look, we're not just interested in picking Republican nominees. We're interested in winning races. And I think when you look on paper of what Chris Sununu has been able to do as the governor, his approval ratings, and I know that Paul just referenced them a little bit, has been, you know, phenomenal in a state that has historically trended more and more left with a federal delegation completely controlled by the Democrats. You want to see somebody who's going to be a top-tier challenger against Maggie Hassan, and that includes through name ID, raising money, success already in elective office. And I think all the indications say today that if Chris Sununu gets in the race, I believe he will be the Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate. I think you'll see tens of millions of dollars spent in this state, both for Chris Sununu and against Chris Sununu, from national interests, because they understand what's at stake in the U.S. Senate, which is literally the control by one seat. So it is a state that we know very well. I live here. The president has done very well in primaries here, obviously. And so I think you're going to see him engage in not just that U.S. Senate race, but also the first congressional district's race.
Yes, you said that before. You've been close with Matt Maurer in the past and supported him, even though you have Caroline Leavitt and others, So it sounds like if Sununu goes for the Senate in the primary, that former President Trump would be with him.
Look, I think it's, look, again, Jack, at the end of the day, it's the president's decision. I can tell you that he and I have talked about this race on numerous occasions. The president is acutely aware of the popularity of Governor Sununu. He's acutely aware that Governor Sununu has a profile to raise national money. And more importantly, we want to retire Chuck Schumer as the majority leader in the U.S. Senate. So in order to do that, we want to pick candidates who we believe can win. And again, not just in a primary, but in a general election. So I'm not here to announce that Donald Trump is going to endorse Chris Sununu, because Chris Sununu is not running for office that we know of right now. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of conjecture that Governor Sununu is going to seek that U.S. Senate seat. But until he becomes a candidate and until that conversation is had, you know, all the rest is just speculation.
Corey Lewandowski, great stuff. I appreciate you coming on the show, and I appreciate you putting in a good word for an interview to have for calling from the former president. Thank you, Corey.
Thanks, Jack.
All right. Hey, it is National Forensic Week in law enforcement. We have some of the stars from the forensic side of things. New Hampshire State Police, brought to you by the men and women of the State Police and Auto Fair. Big stuff there. Some of our analysts will no doubt react to that Corey Lewandowski interview, all but saying that if Sununu, Governor Sununu, runs for the Senate, it looks like Corey Lewandowski would be urging the former president to support and endorse that, which means fundraising help as well. And plus, Corey Lewandowski agrees that the governor's trip to California is a clear sign that that's probably the direction the governor's headed. We'll have much more on a busy Thursday. Good Morning New Hampshire continues right after this.
Loud Canvas Media presents another episode of Leave It to Websites.
Oh, gee willikers, Dad, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. A website that shows up at the top of search engines.
Well, son, the trick to showing up at the top of the search engines is to have the search engines like you. And to make that happen, you need to be optimized with SEO.
Shucks, Dad, how do I get optimized?
Well, son, I'm going to send you off to Loud Canvas Media. They'll turn you into a super popular website. website just like your old man here. You'll be fixed up in a jiffy, and then you'll be on your way to the top of the ranks of search engines, like Google, super visible with SEO.
Good golly, Dad, it's that easy?
Oh, yes, son, it's that easy.
Get your websites optimized for search engines with Loud Canvas Media, your local provider of website design and search engine optimization. Learn more about how a local SEO campaign can help your business grow at loudcanvas.com. That's loudcanvas.com.
Connor's Climb Foundation is hosting its annual 5K and family walk on Sunday, September 26th at 9 a.m. at the Seacoast School of Technology in Exeter, New Hampshire. Kid Governor Charlie Olson will be on hand to announce the start of the race. Connor's Climb Foundation is a nonprofit organization with the mission to provide life-saving suicide prevention programs to the schools and communities of New Hampshire. Register at connorsclimb.org/2021-5K. Donations are also accepted.
You know, one of the things I've been talking about on the show, we always turn to our friends at Bank of America with great expertise. And we have Stacy, who is the New England Division Small Business Manager for the Bank of America. Stacy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
New England is full of small business owners. I think you'd agree.
I would.
And what they find, what they deal with is pretty much the backbone of our economy, correct?
I definitely agree.
So tell us about your Small Business Owner Report.
Sure. So based on the survey, more than half of small businesses expect their revenue to increase over the next 12 months, which is an amazing number. And nearly 8 in 10 said that an available vaccine in their local communities would be helpful in bringing their business back to normal.
What's the outlook, if we had to wrap things up from your research, your studies? What's the small business forecast for New England?
The overall outlook is really positive. Just based on the survey, we had nearly all entrepreneurs rate their business's financial situation as either strong or fair.
All right. Thank you very much, Stacy, with Bank of America for joining us.
Thank you.
And stay tuned to Good Morning New Hampshire to hear more from the team of experts at Bank of America.
Attention, New Hampshire parents. Is your high school student getting the credit they deserve for the after-school activities they participate in? From private sports leagues to art classes, after-school programs, and so much more, your student may be eligible to earn high school credit with New Hampshire's Learn Everywhere program. Make sure your child is building a strong college resume and earning credit for their learning taking place outside the traditional classroom. Visit www.learneverywherenh.org to learn more. This has been paid for by Yes Every Kid.
Good Morning New Hampshire with Jackie. Powered by GMI Asphalt and Paving. Now hiring seasonal workers. Call Christine or simply text PAVE to 78000. That's PAVE to 78000.
Well, a busy, Corey, for lack of a better term, it sort of been the Governor Sununu in the news week. We just had a very informative or telling interview with Corey Lewandowski, who's going to be with the former president this weekend on that trip to Georgia. As Governor Sununu's in California, we'll have more on that and what it all means. But right now, thanks to our friends at the New Hampshire State Police and Auto Fair, we have our regular state police segment. And I want to start with Melissa. And Melissa, please tell us, you're the director. Are you the director of the New Hampshire, and what is the actual title of what I call the crime lab?
Right. So, yes, I am the laboratory director. It's the New Hampshire State Police Forensic Laboratory, and we are the sole forensic laboratory in the state. So if there's any evidence from any crime scenes, it's coming to us.
And that's Melissa Staples. And also in our studios, this is really cool. So it means a lot of these CSI shows is what we're watching this week. Is that what it is on cable? Catherine Ferrari and Jill Terrio also in our GMI Studios. Catherine's a criminalist in the drug area. We're going to come back to that. And also, Jill, one of your colleagues, is the firearms unit expert. Let's just turn to Jill. And what is your primary mission when you go in each day to the lab or forensics?
Well, my job at the lab is to examine firearms that come in that are collected from various crimes. And I'll test fire those guns and compare the bullets in the cartridge cases from that gun to pieces of evidence that were collected from the crime scene or from an autopsy, for example.
Okay. And these cases, how many of you are there in the forensics in the lab that the old firearms cases? And do you have a backlog? You're keeping up with the volume?
Yeah, well, there's two of us. There's myself and my supervisor, Steve Ostrowski, and he's also the supervisor of the unit, and he also does fingerprints examination. But, yeah, it's the two of us, and we've got it pretty much under control. You know, as the cases come in, if they don't require any other testing, you know, such as DNA or fingerprints, they come directly to me. I conduct my examination of those pieces to determine whether or not those bullets or cartridge cases were fired from a particular gun.
Interesting. Now, Catherine Ferrari, you deal on the drug side of things and some of these substances that I think investigators come across, police officers, local departments all across the state come to you and your folks at the lab, correct, to identify what substance may have been taken from a scene?
That is correct.
And what are some of the things you have to deal with? I mean, a lot of people have, unfortunately, fentanyl has become a household word, meth, mm-hmm. cocaine, heroin. I mean, mm-hmm. what are the types of things you deal with? A prescription, opioids, what do you deal with?
Sure. So we deal with all different types of pieces of evidence. So anything that we receive in the laboratory in drug chemistry is suspected to contain a controlled substance. So our number one right now is fentanyl, like you mentioned. We've seen a big uptick in methamphetamine within the past 12 to 18 months. So meth is our number two right now. We do see controlled pharmaceuticals, like you said, pharmaceutical opioids. We see cocaine. We see crack cocaine. We see some types of hallucinogens that would involve LSD or psilocybin mushrooms, things like that. So our exhibits that we analyze come in a wide variety of presentations.
We go back to Melissa Staples. Now, how long have you been director of the, I refer to the State Police Lab for Criminal Investigations or Forensics. What is the actual name again?
It's the New Hampshire State Police Forensic Laboratory.
And how many years have you been director?
I've been the director of the laboratory for about 2 years, but I've been with the lab for 22 years.
Right. Do you like what you do?
I love it. There's not a day that goes by that I think I chose the wrong profession or think of doing something else.
What about Jill and Catherine? Do you enjoy, do you like what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
Now, are you all civilian members of the Department of Safety, or are you state troopers who became employees in the lab? How does that work?
We are all civilian employees, but we do fall under state police. So actually, I report to the colonel of state police.
And is that, how many people most work full-time in the lab?
Well, we have a combination of full-time and some part-time members. We have 53 total positions. That encompasses administrative staff as well as scientists in the laboratory.
And is that, because a lot of people aren't aware, you know, that there are civilian, obviously some of the dispatch communications people, I would imagine, are civilian employees. So within the State Police Department of Safety, there's a fair number of civilian employees.
There are a lot of civilian employees, actually, and it's really nice to be able to be a civilian but still contribute to law enforcement and criminal investigations in the state without having to, you know, go through the police academy and become a sworn trooper.
Let me throw this out to any of you. If you do watch a show, there's a lot of crime-type investigative series now. It's all series, if you notice. NCIS, I think it's... They have one in every area. Now the Hawaii, Las Vegas, New Orleans, and then CSI. You have all these laboratory type police programs. Do you have a favorite?
Joe.
They all pointed at Joe.
I can't watch them.
You know what? I'm not allowed to watch them because when I do, I'm like, well, they're that wrong and that's not really how that works. And I would not do that. So I'm not allowed to watch.
Isn't that true of most professional shows? I mean, I'm sure shows about an airline or something, the pilots or flight attendants, that's not exactly, or police or doctors, medical shows. I mean, it's probably all the same, right?
Yeah, and it's very interesting because we do get people that think they want to do forensic science. And when we say, you know, we're scientists and we're in the lab and we're not necessarily out at crime scenes, they go, oh, that's not what I thought it was, because they've seen these shows.
Yeah, they go right out to the boat or the crime scene or the house. Now, again, what do you all say you love what you do? Let me go around the group again here in our studios, our State Police segment brought to you by the State Police and Auto Fair. What do you like about your job?
I like that even though I've been doing this for 17 plus years, there's really not a day that goes by where I don't learn something new each time I open a case. Honestly, I never know what I'll get when I open up a package of evidence. So it might be, you know, some unusual type of firearm that I've never seen before, some kind of weird bullet design that that I have no idea what it is, and I'm grateful for a group of other firearms examiners from across the country where we kind of put our heads together and communicate and exchange ideas. So, like, if I have a bullet that I've never seen before, I can kind of throw it out there to my colleagues, and, you know, somebody somewhere has probably seen that. They're like, oh, hey, it's a, you know, a 9mm, blah, blah, blah. But it's really neat. It's the kind of job where you never stop learning. So it's kind of fun that way.
Are you oftentimes, you have to go to trials and testify?
Yep. Yes.
That was an answer. Catherine, what do you like about what you do on the drug side?
Yeah, so similarly to Jill, I think that our job requires a lot of critical thinking. We get things in every day that may be presented differently, something that we haven't seen. Specifically in drug chemistry, there are trends, just like there are in the rest of society. And so we'll see different types of substances that weren't even on the illicit market 2, 3, 4 years ago. So being allowed to critically think and determine the appropriate analysis scheme and be able to really problem solve is one of my favorite things about the job.
Would you recommend other civilian, you know, civilian folks that might be thinking of public safety as a career to look into working for public, the Department of Public Safety, State Police?
I would, yeah. I think it, like Melissa had mentioned, it's a really interesting opportunity to be able to practice what we love and do analytical sciences, but also be able to directly impact the public and hopefully help the safety of the state of New Hampshire.
On the drug side, are you still seeing a lot of the synthetic fentanyl and meth?
Yes. So number one right now that we're seeing is fentanyl. Generally, we receive it in a powder form. And then in regards to the quantity or the quality, we don't really determine purity of things. But the majority of what we are seeing is fentanyl.
Interesting. And we'll come back in a few moments and talk about the southwest border and why that matters. Because one of the, as the DEA have told us, John Delaney on this program, one of the consequences of that open border is you have the cartel taking advantage of the humanitarian crisis at the border, getting drugs like that into our region. Finally, Melissa, before we let you go, if people want to learn more about a career there or about the lab, the forensics lab, can the public ever get a tour? Do you ever do like speaking engagements? Do you ever talk about what you do? Do you know, go out in schools? What's the best way to follow up?
Sure. You can always contact the laboratory. We kind of put a stop on our public tours, which were limited to students thinking about careers in forensics, for example. Just with the pandemic and everything, and the size of our lab is very small, so we have kind of put those on a pause. But we do provide speakers for schools, for example. Community groups, we've certainly done those sorts of things for people that have an interest in hearing about what we do.
All right, we appreciate it very much, our folks on the lab, the forensic side of things, and we appreciate you coming in and sharing some expertise in our State Police segment brought to you by Auto Fair. And Catherine, Jill, and Melissa Staples, the director, continued good, great work, as I know that I hear very good things about the lab. And the other thing we should just, before we let you go, is Melissa, you can maybe just verify this. It's not just state cases. You service every local department out there. A department might have one or two offices or 10 or 12 or 20 or sometimes none, and they have part-time. You service all the local as well, correct, in these cases?
Absolutely. We serve over 220 law enforcement agencies in the state. So no matter what the size, we help you out.
All right, we're going to take a break. Bottom of the hour, we'll talk about the latest on the southwest border in Texas, what's going on there. It's a real crisis, even if the national media is not really focusing on it. A little bit later on, more of our interview, my interview with Corey Lewandowski, and some signs of a likely Sununu-Hassan Senate matchup and what the former President Trump might do in terms of his PAC and weighing in on endorsement. News made here this morning. Good Morning New Hampshire continues right after this.
Hi, folks. Doug from the Lumber Barn. Building materials, lumber, plywood, millwork, hardware, brand names you know, AZEK, PVC trim, TimberTech decking, Moisture Shield decking, Rockwool insulation, CertainTeed roofing, IKO roofing, builders and contractors, homeowners and do-it-yourselfers, we got the supplies and free delivery. Check out our new kitchen and bath design center. We're large enough to meet your needs and small enough to care. Go to lumberbarn.com.
Hey, it's Dr. Stephanie from Crossroads Chiropractic, and today I'm here with Elaine, one of our awesome practice members.
Hey, Dr. Stephanie.
So when did you first start getting adjusted?
I got adjusted, I believe, 4 years ago for the first time for a year. Then I had to stop for various reasons, and then I came back, and I've been there for over 2.5 years now.
What's it like to get adjusted?
I absolutely love it. I think it really saved my body and my mind because I was hurting, and I didn't realize how much of an adjustment that I needed to get more.